Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, coming up on today's show, a clip of not one but 2 YouTube videos I think you need to know about. Why some US EV buyers just saved more money on used ones as well. And of course, your answers to this week's question of the week, as we always do on a Sunday. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It is Sunday, the 6th of January. My name is Martin Lee, and I've been through all the EV stories I can find today and handpicked the ones I think you need to know about. Quick mention to our new Patreon supporters. Thank you to Lucas Miller. Now, Lucas Miller joined up as a producer over the weekend. Hi to Mark Gordy. Now, Mark is the founder of the Northwest EV Owners on Facebook here in the UK. We've swapped loads of chats over the last few months of his lovely Nissan Leaf that sits in his driveway. Thank you to Mark for signing up. And Richard Chapman, a new producer of the podcast on Patreon. Richard Chapman, thank you so much. At least I could do would be to get your name right. Or at least maybe you would think, say it again and maybe edit this piece out so that when I said Richard Chapman, I did it without stumbling. If only there was some way to edit this. Well, after joining up, he's only gone and increased it. I mentioned recently a new Patreon supporter, Cookie UK from the EV Alliance here in the UK. And then today, he doubled it. Well, that's a massive vote of confidence, of support. Thank you so much. I mean, that's just blew my socks off. Cookie UK from ev-alliance.co.uk. There's always people saying to me, you know, I'm interested in EVs. Where can I go? Especially in this country. You know, if you're in the US, I say you go to myev.com. You can learn a lot there. I'll have to start remembering to say to people, check out EV Alliance, ev-alliance.co.uk if you're in the UK. And a quick mention, by the way, for Raj, who supports the show. Raj Badwal is starting a new venture. And he's going to be working on installing charging points. And so he sent me a little message to say he wants to make a good first impression. And I said, look, I'll give you a mention. He's based in the East Midlands here in the UK. But he doesn't want to just kind of limit himself geographically to one area. So if there's anyone listening to the podcast today that's been umming and erring over putting in a charge point, which is what he's going to be doing. And he says, you know, any kind of little leads and stuff that can come in through the podcast with our little community, our little gang, will certainly help him, you know, with his new boss. Maybe putting them in car parks and pubs and restaurants, anything commercial, and Raj can give you a call, talk about your needs, and then you can add him to the list of people that you get quotes from. Tell you what, if you're interested, email me hello@evnewsdaily.com. I'll pass on your details. I'd love to connect people on this, especially if you've been thinking about it for a while, and you know, maybe we could all help Raj out with his new job working for a charge point installer, you know, and make that good first impression. That'd be a nice thing. Anyway, that's what I suggested that we do. Thank you to myev.com for helping make this show. If you are in the USA and you're buying and selling and learning about EVs, then please do check out myev.com and listen to the end of the show, because they've set a brand new question of the week. Well, here's a big question. Would you buy a Nissan Leaf, knowing what you know about the new Nissan Leaf 40 kilowatt hour and the bigger battery one, the 60 kilowatt hour E Plus coming soon, given that it has no active liquid thermal management on the battery, which is the gold standard of keeping the battery at that toasty, there, you know, lithium ion batteries are much like us human beings. They like to be 20 something degrees C. And of course, when you drive them hard, then you go and rapid charge them. Any kind of internal resistance in a battery generates heat. And then when you charge them very quickly, then they get hot. If you can keep the battery cool, if you can dissipate that heat with some sort of liquid running through it, like a radiator, that helps the charge speed increase, and it lengthens the life of the battery, by the way. If you rely on just maybe some fins or some fans, like a radiator, to hopefully air just to blow across it. Or maybe there's an in-between, you know, solution where some EVs just blow air over the battery. Like mine, for instance, has active thermal management of the battery, but it's using the air conditioner to keep it cool and the heater to warm it up and all those kind of things. So Nissan didn't do that with the 40 kilowatt hour Leaf. It's just the battery is the battery, and if it gets very hot, the BMS, which is the battery management system, if you're new to EVs, throttles down the charge rate. So you've bought a car that should charge at 50 kilowatts, minus a bit for some losses in the system, maybe 45, say, and you're chugging along at 20 because it's hot, hence the hashtag on Twitter, RapidGate. Well, Bjorn Nyland, who makes brilliant videos, by the way, 120,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel, a ton of money coming in through Patreon and all those kind of things. Congratulations to Bjorn for everything he's doing. He got hold of a new Nissan Leaf with the new BMS update. They've not changed the battery. There's no hardware that they've added, as far as I know. All they've done is changed the software to allow the battery to charge quicker, which is good. It's a great half hour odd video with Bjorn, but I've picked out this clip that I really think hits the nail on the head.
We should get only 28 kilowatt at this temperature. So let's see what happens. All right, we just restarted and whoa, this is great news. Let's fire up the car and turn off the heater. Wow. If this was the old version of Leaf, it would rapid gate and go down to 28 kilowatt. Now we're getting 40 kilowatt. So this is actually hard proof that they have fixed. Well, okay, they have fixed the rapid gate throttling, but what is the result of this? Like, Do we get more degradation? Is this a trade-off that we degrade the battery faster by allowing higher temperature? We don't know yet.
So what is the impact on the battery of allowing the warmer temperatures, the rapid charging at 40, 42 kilowatts when the battery's already hot, about 40 degrees C? Is there any impact, or have they just taken this long to do all the studies with the battery manufacturers and to work out, actually, everything's going to be fine, we can allow it to go faster, or maybe they've had to do that, or some sort of combination of. If you know any more than me, then please let me know, and we continue to watch the situation. Another situation over the last year or so has been Munro & Associates. Sandy Munro takes apart cars for a living. He literally takes every nut and bolt apart. So if you have a car made by manufacturer A, and then manufacturer B wants to know everything in that car, the list price, how much it would cost for that wing mirror or wiring loom, then his company takes apart everything, puts a price against it, and sells those reports for tens of thousands of dollars, right? So when he did that with the Model 3, he went through different phases of releasing YouTube videos saying, this is a terrible car, this isn't a bad car, wow, this is a great car. And then you kind of get the feeling that the people who commissioned the report for the Model 3 weren't too happy, maybe, of him being so complimentary. And then he had to kind of come off YouTube and sort some things out, I think, in the background. Well, he's back on YouTube now in the last couple of days. And the quote is, it's a dream. The Model 3 is a dream. It's the over an hour long clip on Autoline After Hours. But again, I think this sums it up really interestingly.
I've driven a Leaf, I've driven a Bolt, I've driven a Lablet, all these things. None of them made me go, ooh. But the day that we took that thing out, okay, that I had been throwing rocks at, and then we go into the backyard over at, or the parking lot at Walsh College, right? Because there's nobody there. And we start driving it around. I'm watching John driving it. Oh, yeah, this was pretty good. Oh, I like this. So shook hand with John by, and I got in the car and took it out there. And I, a long time ago, I used to race cars. I know what a car is supposed to be able to do. And I thought, how come he was having so much fun? And why haven't I driven this car yet? Because at the time, I looked at the gaps and said, poo. But you know what? When I got in it and I started trying to go like spinning around those lampposts and whatnot, that thing handled like a dream. And that wasn't the best of days. It was raining or snowing or sleeting or something. And it handled brilliantly well. Now I got two guys in the company that have bought my company, that have bought the Tesla. Even after we tore it all apart, they bought them. And one of them tried it out with the, whatever it's called, the ridiculous mode or
ludicrous
mode. He said, well, that ain't going to work. Then he went to the level, and that ain't gonna work either. And he's driving around in the calm mode. And this is a guy that jumps out of airplanes all the time. This is a guy that lives at. We went to a place for dinner, and they had trapeze things. He went, and he'd never been on a trapeze before, but he wanted to try it out. He broke his finger or thumb or something, you know, spinning around on this stuff, but he still toughed it through. At the end of the day, this is a guy that he got into the car and said, I think this is wonderful. I gotta have it. And he bought it. He bought one.
Why did I pick that clip to play you? Well, because it goes to show that someone can buy a Model 3, one of the really early ones as well, by the way. So when he first took a Model 3 apart, Elon said, look, we've changed a lot of things from the very first Model 3s that came off that production line. The first few hundred in 2017 were engineered differently, perhaps over-engineered in places, and the person responsible for certain things is no longer with the company. So a lot of work has gone in since he took apart the first car. But what the interesting thing is, he hadn't driven one. He openly says, I'm not an EV fan on one of his videos. I don't like, he said, like, I'm paraphrasing. He doesn't like electric cars. But then he'd never driven the Model 3. So he was simply giving the impression of, oh, that panel gap isn't great. And, oh, actually, I don't like the way this is done. But he hadn't driven it. The minute he drove it, he's like, right, this car makes sense. Two of my staff have bought one. Look, I'll put a link online. You can watch the whole video if you've got an hour and a half to do that. But that was the crux for me. All of that criticism that he put online, he hadn't driven it. Okay, let's move on to a couple of bits of news today before we get into your answers to question of the week. And the California utility Southern California Edison has increased its rebate available to customers, says a new Clean Technica article. These customers that purchase or lease a new or used plug-in vehicle after the 1st of January this year through its Clean Fuel Reward Program. Hang on, did I say used EVs as well? Uh-huh, you heard me correct. The increase raises the maximum funds available through the rebate from $450 to $1,000 for 2019. And that stacks on top, remember, of any federal tax credit, state and local rebates that you might also be able to get as well. According to Kyle, Kyle Field from Clean Technica says, impressively, the rebate applies equally to new and used EVs as well, which serves to make plug-in vehicles more affordable for customers at all price points in the purchasing spectrum. Offering rebates to buyers of used vehicles helps to offset the incremental costs that come with purchasing an EV, including things like the Level 2 charger, the EVSE, or the purchase price of the vehicle, by the way, all helps. It's worth, if you get a little bit of money back, that's great. Now it's $1,000 in terms of, I think all you have to do, I think with SCA, and again, I'm in the UK, not California, I think all you have to do with that program is send off your other, it's something, a bit of official correspondence, either the receipt or the agreement, or maybe like the VIN number or something of the car that you bought, and then within days, just a check. I think that's the way it works. Just a check arrives in the post. Fantastic. I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to find out more. Well, General Motors hit 200,000 EV sales recently, and that triggers the phase out of their $7,500 federal tax credit. What did I say? Over the next 15 months. Reuters confirmed it with GM sources, says CarBuzz. The tax credit is going to reduce to $3,750 from April and then $1,875 in October for another 6 months. By April 2020, the credit's going to be gone entirely. It's important to know that GM didn't sell 200,000 pure EVs, for instance, like the Chevrolet Bolt in 2018 in 1 year alone, or, you know, something if you're new to the podcast. That figure that we talk about represents all plug-in sales since 2010, when Congress did this in 2009. Tesla just announced it's going to cut its prices on its vehicles by $2,000 to help make up some of that loss from the federal tax credit. Will GM do the same 6 months from now? Well, they won't do it with the Volt. That's not going to be in production anymore. That ends production in just a few weeks' time, very, very sadly. But will they do it with the Bolt? Or maybe as the federal tax credits reduces, they'll do that with some sort of refresh of the car. We told you about the 2019 Bolt that is now on sale with a few extra goodies. Maybe they'll do a larger refresh that announced that's on the horizon. I'll put a link in the show notes to the CarBuzz article. Let's get on to your question of the week this week. Question of the week was, as we set it around the first of the year, what are your EV predictions for 2019? We'll kick off with a new producer, new exec producer of the show, Alexander Frank, who joined up, oh, that was the third, I think it was, 3 days ago. I predict that we will see a lot of articles in the German press regarding EVs and the shortfall of what German automakers are currently offering as soon as the Model 3 becomes a common sight on German roads. Maybe even some strong words from politicians and a shift in attitude in future legislation. Thank you, Alexander. Brian Thompson, not only a friend and supporter of the show, but a former guest on a Saturday special. When him and Sherry were in the UK, I collared them and they came into the studio and had a great chat about him and his being a two Tesla family. Lots of electric... Oh, and by the way, when they came to the UK, they bought me a wonderful Tesla T-shirt, the one you see that Elon wearing in the presentations that he does. And I think I wore that for the recording of the podcast 2 or 3 days ago. I remember wearing it for the podcast recording and then was going to mention it. And I thought, nah, if I say I'm sitting here wearing a Tesla T-shirt, I know that someone's going to email me and say, you're just a fanboy. You never give them bad news about Tesla. So I didn't mention it, even though I was wearing it. Anyway, back to the answer from Brian. Lots of electric semi-trucks and buses on the road, says Brian. No preference to as to any manufacturer. More municipalities banning massive fossil fuel engines from their interiors. I think Model Y, says Brian. I think Model Y will be produced at the Gigafactory 1 during the tour of the Gigafactory that Brian did. The south half of the building was all closed off to any visitors. They're assembling, he says, they're assembling the latest and greatest production line of any auto ever seen. Evolving from everything that they've learned from the production lines of SX and 3. He said, but when he was there, what he did see at Gigafactory was hundreds of engineers all working away on their computers. I'm thinking some of them might be heavily involved on projects other than battery cell design. Hello to Mark Gordy, who I've mentioned, a new... A supporter of the podcast from the Northwest EV Owners on Facebook. He's the founder. The Tesla Model 3 will be the biggest selling EV in Europe by a long way. I don't think anything else competes with Tesla in today's market, he says. Hello on YouTube to the user DC Various Vids. Predictions include cost per pack at cell level dropping, but not by as much as previous years. Savings will not filter down to the buying public. Some fool somewhere will copyright the term EV or electric vehicle. Nissan will continue down the passive BMS abyss, he calls it. Ouch! Shooting themselves in the other foot, which will hamper forward progress. Having shot both feet, Nissan will once again be on their way to shooting themselves in the head this time and maybe looking for another buyout partner. Maybe PSA. VW Group partners will continue to promise more but deliver less, and EV News Daily will go from strength to strength. Well, thank you very much, DC Various Vids, on the YouTube comments. Hello to HowdyYT, who says, looking at the way Japanese car manufacturers are dragging their feet, it's very likely that they will lose out in the EV revolution. Worse still, they're investing more R&D in hydrogen, fuel cell and hybrid tech rather than pure EVs. The prediction of David Webb for 2019 is a rebirth of DeLoreans with EV powertrains. On YouTube, the user DRK says the first quarter of 2019, when Tesla begins to deliver cars to the EU and the advanced development of Giga 3 in China, will take Tesla to the next level, followed by news that the $35,000 Model 3 will be ready in April, is his prediction. Rambler Andy says the Tesla Model 3 will be the biggest selling EV ever. Tesla will buy a GM factory. The Jaguar XJ Electric will turn out to be worth waiting for. People will stop caring about its range because the charging infrastructure will start to become so big. Drivers begin to stop worrying. The second half of the prediction might be pie in the sky, he says, but there are not nearly enough non-Tesla rapid chargers. I know what you mean by that, Rambler Andy. It's nothing more sobering than pulling up into a charging spot in my EV and seeing a bay of 12 or 14 superchargers and just one third-party charger, maybe like an Ecotricity or something at a motorway service station, and it's in use or out of order. And you think, oh, man, just scrape some money together and buy a Tesla just for the charging. One last Tesla prediction, says Rambler Andy. The $35,000 Model 3 will become available worldwide, even in right-hand drive model, by the end of the year. By the way, he says, 35K is 27,000, 2770 £25 sterling. Take off the government rebate and you get a lot of electric car for about 25 grand. What's the betting we have to pay pounds for dollars? Yeah, I mean, we've got VAT. We have a 20% value-added tax to add here in the UK. So that's always one thing that I have to try and remember because I'm a bit of an Apple gadget freak as well. And when you end up paying pounds for dollars and you're thinking, this should be like three quarters of the price. We do have tax added, but also there is sometimes with electronics and things, a bit of a UK tax. Sometimes, even if you take off the VAT and then do the conversion, we still pay more. I don't quite know how that works out. Hello to Roberts, says Tesla is going to buy a GM plant this year. Michigan will cave to Tesla. A breakout for charging networks. 50 kilowatt chargers won't be built anymore. They'll be old-fashioned. EU charging networks will jump to 150 kilowatt chargers, and US networks will start at 100 for any new installed charger. Hyundai and Kia will build and operate three battery plants with their partners. GM will announce two new EVs to be produced by 2020. Well, we know there's one coming in 2020. So he's predicting a second. And Mitsubishi will come out with the CA MEV with the help of Nissan and Renault. Hello to Gerrits Govart says, my prediction on the Tesla Model S and X, not only an interior refresh, but a small exterior refresh as well, with aero improvements, vented front wheels, wells, like the M3, Model 3. More importantly, switching the cells from 18650s to 2170s in a greatly improved pack architecture, a lot less wiring with substantial weight savings. Yes, we know that's the one thing about the Model 3, is they have everything they've learned over the years with the S and the X. Will they then go round in circle, if you like, and then improve the S and the X? The top-end S may see an increase in range to the low 340s. Performance versions getting track mode is his prediction. Right, four or five more. And hi to Gordon Lang. I think the Model Y will not have falcon wing doors. It'll be a sliding door to save money and production speed. Jared Slusser from Static Ride EV in California. My prediction is we'll see a big V2G, that's vehicle-to-grid rollout, in the real world. I think we'll see some home charging points and cars capable of V2G and utility companies moving beyond pilot programs. Hello to Maz. Now, I follow Maz on Twitter. Love his tweets. Epic Winning Maz is his handle. My prediction for this year, pure electric car sales in the UK will double, be 30,000, largely due to the Model 3. Increased Kona production, the e-Niro, the Leaf E+, and premium SUVs. He predicts 10,000 Model 3s in the UK in the last 6 months of the year when they go on sale. Hi to Pete Glass. 2019 is going to be a timing year. Small battery improvements in the Leaf, the Zoe, the i3 and the Sol. The back end of the year will get the first delivery of new models, but the story is building to 2020. Vaporware, he says, will get more concrete, but some will evaporate completely. One old and giant manufacturer, but he doesn't know which one yet, will surprise us with something they've been working on in secret. We'll get the promised timescale for the Tesla Model Y, but it'll slip, he says. The big question is, can the Koreans, Hyundai Kia, be able to, or even want to, ramp up production of their cars? And can Chevy produce more bolts? Three more. Jack Oakley says, greetings from Pennsylvania. My 2019 EV prediction, General Motors will introduce a small SUV based on the Bolt platform, updated with all-wheel drive, available as a Buick or Cadillac to justify the higher price point with 225 miles. Andrew Jacobs predicts that this year Volkswagen will announce another five concept EVs that will never go anywhere near production. It's an old trick that Microsoft used to use, he says. Announce a lot of features that you haven't got in the hope of stopping the sales of rival products. I think Tesla will have a surprise of unveiling the pickup truck when they finish unveiling the Model Y. And finally to John, who is Beardy McBeardface on Twitter. Before the end of 2019, the UK and Europe will see an influx of Chinese EVs, cheaper and medium-priced vehicles. If it happens, it'll have an impact on EV pricing in general. Sadly, £30,000 is not what you would call affordable. We need decent family-sized EVs for £15,000 to bring them into the mainstream. I know Dacia are producing EVs, are promising to produce EVs cheaper much like their current lineup. Well, thank you very much to everybody who chipped in with this week's question of the week. I loved it. I love your prediction. See which ones, we'll come back in a year's time and see which ones panned out to be true. Let's set a brand new question of the week then. Thank you to myev.com. They've set this week's question of the week. Keep your comments coming in over the next 7 days. We'll read them out on Sunday. And here is the question. It's actually based on something that happened to me a little while ago. I was parking up and plugging in and one person walked over and says, "Oh, I've been thinking about getting an EV. Should I get one?" And then as I was I was trying to just get on with my day. And then I'll always stop for a chat. But I was in a real hurry. And so, but you can't. I stopped and I talked and I chatted and explained and battery sizes. And I was at a free charger and all those things. And then as he went off happy after 5 minutes. So I'm getting my key fob out of my pocket and the RFID card and holding it and trying to plug it in. And then somebody else walks over and goes, "Oh, I've got solar panels. Should I get an electric car?" "I'm so late. I've got to get shopping." I stopped and talked to him, and he went away very happy in a big 3-litre Audi. Interesting. He's obviously a big petrol head. It was like an RS6. Does that sound right? And he is thinking of getting an EV. So here's the question of the week. If an ICE driver says to you they're EV curious and asks about the best thing about an EV, what's the one thing you should tell them? If an ICE driver walks over and says they're thinking about getting an electric car, what's the one thing about EVs you should tell them? Thank you very much to 153 patrons of the podcast. That was real-time maths there. 153 patrons of the show. You are very generous, each and every one of you. Thank you so much. We hopefully aim to inform people all around the world who listen to this show, and maybe, just maybe, a few people who are EV curious and listening, by the end of this year, they will be doing electric, clean, emission-free miles by the end of 2019. If that's the effect of this podcast, then I think that's job done, don't you? Thank you very much to Phil. Now, Phil Roberts from Electric Future, EF.energy, is our premium partner. Hello to electricmotoring.net, who we heard yesterday on the show. Oh, by the way, if you haven't heard Paul's special yesterday, all about the state of EV rental in the US, then do listen to yesterday's. Catch up on the interview. It's a good one. First one we've done for 2019. It's a great interview, by the way, over Skype. And hello to Brad. Now, Brad Crosby signed up this week as our third premium partner, and I'll tell you more about Brad and what I've been having a chat with him next week. Hello to partners of the show, always giving good feedback to Question of the Week, David Allen. Hello to OEM Audio of New Zealand and evpower.co.nz and Sasha Pallenberg, and our exec producers Alan Robson at Scottish EV Owner, Ashley Hill, Howard Gear Skarsveen, Bjard Fuchstack, Bob Muir at Ginger Computers in Dundee, Brian Weatherall, Brent Kingsford, Brian Young, Cesar Trujillo, Chris Benson, Chris Hopkins, Darren Bird, David Partington, David Prescott, Damian Davis, Don McAllister at screencastsonline.com, Frederick Rovick, George Clargo, Jack Oakley, Jerry Allison, Ken Morris, Jason Fan, John Bailey, John H. Mayer III, John Timmis, Kevin Mayerson, Ken Morris, Lars Dallager, Louis Hopkin, Luke Cully, Marcel Lohman, Marcel Ward, Maz Shah, there he is, epic winning Maz, Martin Croft, Matthew Ellis, Matthew Gruby, Neil E. Roberts and Sussex EVs, Paul Stevenson, Paul Seeger-Smith, Pete Glass, Philippe Calvé, Raj Badwall, Rene Schneider, Rod James, Rupert Mitchell, Sarah McCann, Scott Callahan, The Limousine Line in Sydney, and Zach Hurst. Well, there are 348 previous shows that you can download for free on your favourite podcast app. You can subscribe anywhere, which means you get them first and free and automatically. Hit subscribe. You might as well. I mean, it's free to do so, and we all love free stuff, right? And if in return you can leave a little review for 2 minutes, that'd be amazing. In the meantime, catch up on the socials by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.